Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. We know you'll be encouraged and inspired by this message. For more content like this, you can subscribe here or head over to faithchurch.com. Let's jump in now for an on-time word from Pastor David.
Now, I want to talk about a trip that I took this last week with my daughter. She's going to be 17, November the 20th. And a lot of people have built a lot of great churches, and I've watched this over the years, where if somebody builds like this iconic church or this iconic business or something, it seems like their kids fall to the wayside. And I always realized I don't want my daughter to have daughter issues, right? You don't want daddy issues. I mean, I don't want daughter issues either. That's why I don't want her to have daddy issues. And so I try to always spend time with her, quality time. I always told her, even when she was little at Earth City, when we were first building that campus that you're in today, and thousands of people were coming, and at the hallway, people would be grabbing me, and I always said, Ashton, you're my priority. She's like three with a little lisp. And I said, if you ever come up to me in the middle of somebody's conversation, you just don't worry about them. You're the most important person in my life. And so she'd come up sometimes and be like, hey, dad, what? And I said, I'm ready to go home now. And I'll be like, just 1 minute, you know, dad, I'm tired of you talking to the people. And so I always tried to make that a priority. I didn't do it all right, but I continued that through seasons even like this last week. We went to California. That's what the picture is behind us. And in California, I had an experience with God that I want to share with you. And there was a lot of stuff going on this daddy-daughter trip, you know, just special moments when I'm thinking about my legacy and how that looks as a parent to you. Think about this. It's not like, hey, let's sit down and ream you about something. It's just day-to-day conversations. I'm just talking to her about stuff, and then she'll say stuff, and I'll be like, hey, here's a good teaching opportunity. Sometimes I even preface it by saying to Austin or Ashton or really anybody in my family, go, I know you guys get tired of me preaching, but I just got to drop this culture in you. Because God gives you wisdom for the last days. So today I want to say stuff. It's almost like we're on a daddy-daughter trip. It's not going to be a sermon. It's not a preach-off. You know I can do that. I could entertain you and make you laugh, or I could share with you some things out of my heart that God told me to tell you. And it's stuff, by the way, I don't even want to tell you. It's not how you build. I know how to build a big church, and this isn't how you do it. There's really tough conversations that have to be had to have good relationships and enjoy your life and make it to the end time. So on this daddy-daughter trip, a couple things were happening. One, we had a lot of fun. You know, I think there's probably one little shot of us on a Jeep. We rented a Jeep. My leg, of course, is messed up, so she was scooting me around. And so we just sat on the Jeep and ate some cheap chicken and French fries. Give it up for the French fries. And we just sat there and we talked. Wasn't anything really, really deep at that moment. But what I was doing was I was just speaking into her life and having fun with her, talking to her. I also had a meeting, one little meeting that wasn't what the trip was about. I just happened to know a friend of mine. All my friends in California are struggling in the church business because the bars are completely open and everything is a big party, but the churches are. In fact, let me just show you a video clip of Ben Prescott's church.
Okay, this is Ben Prescott, Free Chapel. California said no church, not inside. And you said what? We're going outside. Boom! And they had church, got people saved. The California fires, though, are kind of a problem. It's windy and smoky, but at least you guys don't have to use smoke machines.
No.
Dope.
Give it up for Ben Prescott and everybody at Free Chapel. Come on, you can do better than that, all campuses. Don't act like you're watching a video today. Respond to this, okay? So they're out there in California, and there's bars, and they're all open, but the church can't do it, but they can do it outside, even though Saddleback and all the other churches, thousands and thousands of great churches, and they can't have church. I'm just telling you that the Bible says this, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So if you think about this as a dad for a moment, it must mean that the gates of hell are going to try to prevail against the church. Now, here's the bad news. The bad news is there's a lot of evil in the world, and there's a lot of evil people in the world with agendas that are anti-Christ. And I want you to just shout that with me. Shout anti-Christ.
Anti-Christ.
It's good to get it off the tongue. Anti-Christ. Well, all that means is like, I'm anti not eating pizza. Come on, somebody. I'm anti, not having fun. And some people are anti-Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is not an answer. He is the way, not a way. Give it up right there. That's a must. It's a non-negotiable. Okay? But here's what's happening right now. I'm having all these conversations and talking to Ben Prescott in the back room. I think there's a picture even in his office where we sat and talked a really long time about what I see as an older guy. I'm 51. And what do I see is what's the landscape of the church? What is happening? And a lot of preachers are asking me like this right now. And here in a nutshell is this. I believe truly that God is coming back for a glorious church. I don't think he's a liar. I believe that there's going to be an end time revival that hits certain churches. I don't think it's going to hit all churches. I think it's going to be the ones that are, you ought to write this down, repentant. And then after repentance comes refreshing, brings restoration, and then revival. Somebody ought to shout amen to that right now. And if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves in prayer, he said, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. We're smack dab in the middle of a pandemic, whatever you think it is, it doesn't really matter. The fact is, America is shut down. America is the hope of the world. Today is going to be nothing to do with politics because I'm not here to talk about what's going on in this world because I'm not really from here. I'm from another kingdom where my father is the king and his kingdom rules and reigns and he governs. Come on in the overflow, in the chapel, out in the breezeways. Listen to this. Here's the problem, though. It sounds good preaching it, and you get a good clap there. Yeah. But you got to do, to get something you've never gotten, you got to do something you've never done. You can't just keep doing what you're doing expecting different results. That's the definition of insanity. My fear about having this dad talk with you guys today was, man, when I started the church a long time ago, and my dad had a church of 180 people my whole life, I knew them all. In fact, most of them are still with me. Give it up for all the people that are still with me. Almost all 180 people stayed, which is really unbelievable. But we still had enough culture and DNA of my dad to make those people feel like, yeah, this is my church home. And then we had enough of, I'm not pointing the finger at you this way. My dad didn't have any of that. I'm pointing at you this way. And that grew the church to, you know, the biggest church in St. Louis. But I never really tried to grow a big church. I tried to grow a healthy church. But here's one of the ways I will tell you, young pastors watch me, that I did it. My goal was is I didn't preach against stuff. I just preached for stuff. I figured there was enough people preaching against stuff that I could preach for stuff. So that's always been my philosophy. Now, please listen to me right now. This last week in the middle of the night, God spoke to me. In Orange County, California, in Irvine, while I was sleeping, trying to sleep because you could smell the smoke so strong, it was penetrating with inside the air ducts of the hotel room as California is on fire. They might even have a picture of some of the fires in California. It's legitimate. It's not getting any news coverage right now, but California is on fire. You can't see going down the road. And I was in there in the room, and on the way, on our daddy-daughter drive, we were listening to a song. And I love the song. The song, in a minute, I want Titus to come and sing it for everybody. It's a beautiful song. And the melody is gorgeous. And it just had a thing about it that I was like, oh, I'm digging this song. And I love music. Ashton's the most like me out of everybody in our family. It's almost as if she's mine. And we think a lot the same. We roll the same. She's in and out of a store the same. She's really just a mini me. And so when she was singing it, or the song was playing, and this guy, I won't say his name because I don't want anybody to think I'm trashing this guy because I love this guy who wrote it. His whole family pastors the church and involved in church and worship. And then sometimes here's the edge. I do believe that God wants artists, Christian artists, godly Holy Ghost people to penetrate the system. Here's what you got to be careful of, though, is all of a sudden now the system penetrates you. Wow. And when I was listening to the song, I told Titus, I said, Titus, the song is true. The song is right on. This song is legit. Here's the problem that God had with the song. In the middle of the night, here's my prayer log. I keep a journal when God speaks to me. He doesn't speak to me all the time, but he does speak to me. Here's word for word what he said to me this week in Irvine, California. In the middle of the night, God kept speaking to me, and he first spoke to me about the seven churches. You can read about that. Google it. It's in Revelations. We might, depending on the time today, get to it. Seven churches. He first spoke to me about the first seven churches, and he said, what kind of church do you want to pastor, David? And he warned me about the apostasy of the church. And he warned me, listen now, about the mediocrity that everyone has. He warned me about apostasy and mediocrity and being comfortable with stuff that we should not be comfortable with. Last night, me and Ashton were driving down the road. I told you that. We're having a great time. We were listening to a song by the artist. And melodically, it was so beautiful, and the words were so true. In fact, I told Ashton, this is exactly what everybody does now, and that's just the way it is. And God said, just because it's neat and it's true In the middle of the night, he reminded me what my dad said to me. He said this: my father told me every generation gets colder. They get looser in their morals. And someday, he told me, someday, pause the prayer log. Now, my dad, my physical dad, David Paul Craig, born in 1947, August 23rd, top secret crypto in the Armed Forces, Highway Patrol Academy, man of God. This guy told me, someday, Sunday will be just like another Saturday. And I thought, no. Because if you're old enough to remember when you couldn't buy milk on a Sunday? You were screwed. You better think about it because it is a national holiday and it happened every 7 days. I thought, no, that's not going to be true. And he said, yes, it is going to be true. And then someday church will just be an option and people will have the form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. And every man will do what is right in his own eyes. And I thought, no, no, no. Now, my dad now becomes an evangelist and we're preaching in little churches about this size. Not the big ones that you're sitting in right now at Sunset Hills, 2,400 seat, and our city the same, 2,400 seat. Not those big churches you're sitting and watching me right now, these little bitty places like this. And so sometimes we'd go out to eat with somebody. And then we went out to eat with some people and they gave me this really cool little radio. I think they have a picture of it. This little radio, and it was really cool. Back in the day, they had a thing called AM FM radio. Anybody familiar with this? And it wasn't all downloaded on your phone. And you'd sit there listening to it. And so my dad said, oh, that's so sweet. And we got in the car, we're driving home. And I had the radio in the back seat, and I'm looking at it, and I said, Dad, isn't this so cool? He said, oh, I forgot they gave you that. Give me that. And he takes that radio, rolls down the window, and chucks it on the highway. A million pieces. I was so mad. He said, you don't have the sense to have a radio yet. Who knows what in the world you would listen to that would contaminate your mind, get a hold of your soul, and jack up your future. And this is before Jay-Z and Lil Wayne. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. This was pretty clean, right? But I was like, what? But let me tell you, as a dad talking to you today, at 51 years of age, I look back at that day and realize I didn't know what was good for my soul. But today I do know that my dad protected me all the way to be the person that I am today. I'm not perfect, but I'm sitting in a position. I'm sitting in a place. Somebody ought to help me right now. And we've got to bring back a little bit of holiness to the church. Raise your hand at all campuses if you're okay with what I'm saying today. He said, every generation will become colder. And God warned me. Here's God speaking. He warned me and said, there must be a difference between our church and a normal church. Because of the prophetic call that is on your life, David, to speak over other churches. You always say, and I told you, you must preach for stuff, not against stuff. But you do have to have a balance. I'm saying you need to preach for something. Yes. Righteousness. You need to preach for something. Yes, the Holy Ghost. But that I needed to share with my church some of the things that are contaminating our church. This church might not be for you. It might be your first time here and you're like, what in the world? I'm looking for a good preacher. I'm looking for somebody that's going to make me laugh. Come back some other week, I will. And somebody that can like, you know, shuck and buck. Oh, Lord, I do all of that. But every once in a while, we just got to have a talk. A dad talk and say, honey, there's the reason why I can't let that boy spend the night. There's a reason why you can't wear that shirt. There's a reason why you can't wear that skirt. There's a reason why you can't go to that place. Somebody ought to help me right now. My daughter came down a few weeks ago with a Bush beer shirt. It was like a real blousy shirt. She bought it at Goodwill because her and I love going to Goodwill together. And she bought it and I really didn't pay attention to what she bought. And then she came downstairs and I got a scratching when I saw it. That she shouldn't be promoting what would be harmful to some people. And just in my own spirit, you do whatever you want to do. I'm just saying for me and my house, I just felt a scratching. But because I loved her so much, I thought, I don't want to cause trouble. I'll just leave it alone. And then later, I got to thinking about my dad. After God spoke to me in California this week and said, every generation gets a little bit colder. Let me tell you what my dad would have done. The guy that chucked the radio down the road. He would have ripped that shirt off of my back and beat me with it. No, let me just beat. Have you lost your blessed mind? Do you realize who gave us this house? Do you realize who let us sleep inside? Do you realize we were living in a trailer eating air bologna and God has raised us up and resurrected us up and now you're going to put on a shirt? I don't think so. Now that's my dad, not me, because I let her wear the shirt because I love her so much. Or maybe I don't love her enough. So when I listen to God, he says, hey, some of the songs you're listening to right now, there's an artist right now that has a song that sounds very holy. And I like it. It's like, that's a really cool melody. And by the way, I'm not saying I'm not going to listen to either one of these songs. I just need to say, I need us to know it's wrong. I might watch a movie, but I'll tell my kids, this movie that we're watching, I want you to know, we don't believe in that lifestyle. We don't believe in that way of thinking. But you really got to be careful, though, because have you ever drank a soda? Maybe you're at the theater or something, you see it, and it's bubbling like they do that. Warrenburg, Warrenburg, Warrenburg Theater. And then soda is... But then have you ever had a soda in ice too long and you look down and there was no fizz left and it was all diluted in water? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about right now. Which one do you want? Do you want the one with fizz and fire? Do you want the one that is completely just messed up now? It's diluted now. It doesn't taste good now. The church right now, the capital C church, and I want to make sure I'm smiling when I say this. I love the church. I love the people of the church. I love megapastors and gigapastors because gigapastor I didn't know till they told me on the media that I was a gigapastor. I said, what's that? They said, anything above 10,000 people. So I must love gigapastors because I are one. But my point is I want you to know that I'm not doing you justice if I don't tell you the truth, that you really got to be careful right now because so much of the world is contaminating the word that someday when there is a pandemic for real and killer bees for real and plagues on one side, this is, God said it's going to happen, and fires burning down entire states, we need to go back to God. I am here for you. I will obey you. Someday you're going to want it. So do it while you've got breath and you got pants. Do it while you're healthy. Somebody ought to help me. And I said, oh God, use me. I need you, Jesus. So God starts dealing with me about that song and then this song that's holy, but then there's something on the song that says, hey, we're holy, look what God did, and I got baptized, but I know a great place to buy weed. And it's like, oh, isn't that great? Because the guy... I'm saying it's a great song. I love this song. I do. It's unbelievable. But here's the dangers of this. As Christians, we're so excited about people. Yeah, yeah, rah, rah, Jesus. That anytime they do something that's even delusional or deluded, we go. They said his name. God, Jesus said this. He said, you've prophesied in my name. You cast out demons in my name. You preach sermons in my name. You built great churches in my name. But he said, you never knew me. And the God that I know right now is telling me, no matter how bad it hurts me, I've got to tell at least my church the truth. If I go broke, I got to tell you guys, we got to step it up a little bit. We got to get our fervency back a little bit. We got to get back to prayer a little bit. We need to fast and pray. Come on. There's so much uproar in our country. This election will be over on Tuesday. But listen, the strife is still here and the demons are still here. Don't get caught up in the mess. Get caught up in the message and realize we serve a king, and this king loves us. He loves red people, black people, white people, gay people, straight people, liars. He loves preachers. Come on, give him praise today at all the churches. So he says to me in my prayer journal, the reason why you scratch when you hear that song is because it's wrong and it's mediocrity, and mediocrity is what separates hot from cold. In the Revelations, he said, if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Actually, he says, I will throw up. It makes him sick. This is not a politically correct term, the Lord said. This is not the way to build a big church. As I thought about these words, I said, okay, God, what kind of church do I want to build? You're asking me. I want to build a church that's rapture ready. Someday, Jesus is going to, you're going to see it on CNN, Fox, all news will cover it because it'll be so freakish. Because there will be a guy on a white horse and there will be a trumpet that blasts all through the entire world. And now Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, will come back with a bloody vest on. And on the vest, it says faithful and true. This is going to happen. And then there's going to be a sword coming out of his mouth, which represents the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And at that moment, when he comes back, not everybody's going to heaven. And even people that will get to go to heaven later won't get to go to heaven now. They'll go through what they call the Great Tribulation. You think, I mean, this is hell. COVID-19 sucked. I had to wear a mask and use Uber Eats, and my Netflix sometimes didn't always work. This is not hell. Government sent you a check. This isn't hell. Your business grew. This isn't hell. You had some inconveniences. This isn't hell. Hell, the Bible said, is where there's crying and screaming and gnashing of teeth. And here's the scary part. People are there right now. And we have to be the church and realize we can sing songs that are so mediocre that people never have a true conversion. A true conversion is saying, I'm turning my back on my past and I'm turning my face towards Jesus and his cross. And I'm going to love the sinner, but I'm going to hate the sin. And I'm saying I have to love sinners because I am one. I think bad things. I say bad things, but I tend to do better when I wash my hands in that gym here in this very state in Florida. A year ago when God sent revival to our church and he told me to go to the gym and wash my hands, and I cried and he said, I want you to delete all the secular music off of your phone. And I thought, man, I don't want to do that. I love music. I got all this stuff. And then he said, are you seriously going to do that to me right now? That's how messed up I was. And I stood on the stage at Sunset Hills where many of you are sitting right now, and I preached that sermon to everyone. And I got down on my knees and I told you the experience of God that I had. And God's kind of seasonal. It was about this time of the year. And then God brought a great revival. Listen, we don't need a crowd. We need a revival. I don't care if it happens at the chapel with 120 people here, 120 people in the overflow. I don't care where it happens. I'm not looking to be famous before men. We've already got that. We've already been on the magazines, been on every show, had all the money. I've got everything I need here. What I need is to not impress them. I need to impress him. And there's a day where you and I need to understand that Jesus is Lord. Somebody ought to help me right now, that he doesn't deserve mediocrity, that it wasn't half on when he went to the cross, it wasn't half on when he died in hell, it wasn't half on when he resurrected himself, and it won't be half on when he comes back. He's coming back for a church. So there's the prayer log. What Titus is about to do is he's about to sing the melody to the song that I was hearing that I loved. And it even sounds better with Titus because he's freakishly good with vocals. So here's what I don't want you to do is go, I love this song. It's not about loving the song. It's about listen to the mediocrity of somebody who was in the pastoral world and then now what is culturally relevant. Because there has to be a difference. Listen to me online, all campuses. Ferguson, Weldon, or City, Sunset. If you don't know it's wrong, then you just fall down the path of least resistance. What makes rivers and men crooked is the path of least resistance. So we have to say, hey, I'm not going to judge the song. I'm probably still going to listen to the song. But I'm going to have to mark it in your brain. We go, that's wrong. That's wrong. I think bad stuff. That's wrong. It's not like, you know, I got saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I don't think women are beautiful. I see women. I have to go, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. First you look and go, you know, first you try to actually fit it all in and go, God, you have done wonderful things. Look what you have done. So people hate it when I talk this way because they're like, I don't like to think my pastor thinks that way. The others do. They just lie to you. So at least I don't lie. But a pastor, a friend of mine told me, it's not the first look that gets you. It's the second look that gets you. But I'm just here to tell you, don't have a wondering eye. But if you got a wondering eye, sometimes it's because, well, we're off on other stuff now. Play the song. Help me out of here.
Maybe I drink too much. I fall in and out of love. Maybe a couple times. I've done a couple lines. I lie to my mom. I smoke marijuana most of the time. I do what I want. You might not believe it.
Listen to the mediocrity.
But I still talk to Jesus. See, I've got a past more stained than the glass everyone knows. See, I need salvation for my reputation. So here it goes. I don't change my ways. I don't change my shirt. I go from the club straight to the church. It's the same prayer. It's the same hurt. Maybe I drink too much. I fall in and out of love. There's been a couple times where I've done a couple nights. I lie to my mom. I smoke marijuana most of the time. I do what I wanna. You might not believe it, but I still talk to Jesus.
Here's my question. What do you think my dad would think of this song? Have y'all know he's chucking that bad boy down the highway. Don't be lying to your mama. You ain't smoking no marijuana. It's the introduction drug to other stuff. Do you realize I was a cop and I know what drugs do to people? You done lost your mind. Going to the club and then going to the church. I don't think so. But in my world, at my church that I built, every Sunday I meet people. And I want to be clear about this, because here's where the balance comes in. We're not judging people going, bet you came straight for the clubs. You didn't have your eyelashes on this early in the morning. That is not what I want. Hear me yelling. We're not looking to condemn people. But what we are looking also not to do is condone sin in our lives. I don't care what other people do. If I cared what other people did, I'd have lost my mind, because y'all been doing whatever you want to do your whole life. So I got to go to bed and go, the people's name that's on this arm, I don't want to mess up my new Faith Church shirt, but I will. There's a list of people that are on this arm right here, and it's my family up at the top. So you got MJ, Austin, Ashton, and Nicole. Those people, those are the people that I will die for. In a few days, on before the end of the month, there'll be one more added. It'll be my grandson, and I'll put his name on there. Now, there's the logo on there of the church on each thing that represents you at large, but it doesn't represent you individually. You have to make the choice. I'm not going to lie to my mama, smoke marijuana. Most of the time, I do what I want to know. The Bible said, my life is not my own. My life is bought with a price. I say no to what the flesh says, and I say yes to what God wants me to say. Am I making sense to anybody? And I don't want to condemn anybody. What I'm trying to do is go on the daddy-daughter trip with you. 1 Corinthians 4:15. For even if you were to have 10,000 teachers to guide you in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. Who led you to Christ and assumed responsibility for you, for I became your father in Christ. A lot of you have had daddy issues, and now I am a father to you. I'm not looking to drink Kool-Aid with you. I don't want to make your decisions for you, but somebody has to tell you the truth. Ashton, we need to talk about that song. Austin, we need to talk about when my family... You are my family. You might not be my family of origin, but you're my family of choice. I chose you to be in my world. You chose me to be your spiritual father. And every once in a while, we have to have these daddy-daughter talks, this son-to-son, man-to-man talk to say, you might have many teachers, but only a few fathers. What's that mean? Is right now, I'm all for social media. But Mike Todd, I love him. He's a dear friend. His senior pastor, Carlton Demetrius Pearson, was my best man at my wedding. I'm for him. Stephen Furtick is a dear friend of mine. We talk all the time. But I'm just here to tell you that a lot of your famous preachers, just because you like them as a teacher, doesn't mean it's your spiritual father. When God gives you a father, he's going to say things you don't like. He's going to chuck something out the window that you don't like. And my dad did not stop being my dad the day he told me no. By the way, that was his favorite word. He said, I thought no was my name for the first 25 years, okay? But all those no's led me to a greater yes, so I could be who God called me to be today. And I'm begging you at every campus today. I'm begging you online today to say, Pastor David, you're my father. You take responsibility for teaching these sermons like this, and I'm going to stand behind you. And I'm not just always going to be posting posts. It doesn't offend me when people post about it. I just go, what immaturity. They won't be there when you get sick. They ain't going to be there at your wedding. They're not going to be there. Nothing against these guys. They're dear friends of mine. We talk every Instagram post I ever put up, they all watch. We're buddies. We all go on vacations together. But you have to decide, who did God call you to be a part of, and realize those people are actually guardians for your soul. Psalms 12, and we're going to go a couple minutes over today because you need this. Psalms 121:3. I'm sorry, 121:3. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian, God, won't fall asleep, not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze. This is speaking of God's love for you. 2 Timothy 4, it says, I charge you, and I could put my name, Pastor David, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing. How many of y'all believe Jesus is coming back? Shout it loud, he's coming back. Come on, all campuses, he's coming back. At his appearance, his kingdom, here's what God told me to do. He said, preach current culture. Preach politically correct. No. Y'all see it at all campuses, right? What's it say?
Preach the word.
Come on, shout it. Every campus, what?
Preach the word.
Be ready in season and out of season. What I'm saying right now is a lot of out of the season. I want to go do what I want to do. I'm going to do what I want to. You might get what you want, but you might not want what you get. Yes. You're going to call me. You're going to say, Pastor David, my dad's dead. Pastor David, my dog died. Pastor David, we swear my marriage is messed up. And I'm going to go back and say, maybe you drank too much. Maybe you're out of touch. Didn't see you all through COVID. Except on Walmart security cameras. Do what you want. No, that's not the way I would respond. But I'm here to tell you that that's when you sow to the world, you reap the whirlwind. When you sow to the word, you reap life everlasting. So he told me, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, check this out, rebuke. You ain't rebuking me. Huh. I'll just flip to the next TV, internet pastor. I'm all for online church. But if there is a way for you to get to church, even if you have to come in crutches, you do it. Because God said, forsake not the assemblies of myself together, and when the evil day approaches, do it all the more. Here's my question. All campuses, raise your hand if you think this is a pretty darn evil day. How many of y'all raise your hand again and say, it's way more evil than it was when your grandma and grandpa were praying for you? How many of y'all are smart enough to understand we ain't even close to evil, yet it's going to get worser? Worser is not a word, but it sounds so good when little kids say it. He said, rebuke, exhort with long suffering. So do it in love. I'm not being mean. Teaching. For the time will come, listen to me, guys, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because of their itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers. No dads, just teachers. My teacher is this guy. My teacher is that guy. My teacher. No, no, no. Find out who God told you to sit under. And submit to that. Then you will get sound doctrine. Then you won't go with your own desires, because they'll have itching ears and they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from truth and they will turn to fables. But you, everybody shout, me. Come on, Weldon, shout it. Me. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist. In other words, you're supposed to reach people for Jesus. Now, I'm only going to keep you 2 more minutes, I promise. I want to talk about tradition just for a minute. I'm not a traditional preacher. I never built a traditional church. I don't dress like a traditional church. I don't do tradition. But at the same time, there are certain parts of tradition I do. I think it's still traditional not to beat women. I just do. I think it's still traditional to open up the door for a woman. I still do. I still think it's traditional to prefer your brother. And I still think it's traditional to be kind. I think it's traditional to smile even behind your mask. I think it's still just tradition. So years ago, my dad was really poor. We lived in the trailer, right? Then we got pretty blessed. My dad did good, made a lot of right decisions, did well in real estate as well. And so we bought this executive home, my dad did, that the attorney for Walmart lived in, because his wife had died of cancer and we moved in there. We never really had Thanksgiving dinner at a real table, and we had a big table. And that year at Thanksgiving, my dad set a tradition. He just prayed a Thanksgiving prayer over Thanksgiving. I thought, well, this is weird. Dad never did that before. And sometimes tradition feels weird when you've never done it before. And then next year he did it again. And the next year he did it again. Next year he did it again. I thought it can't become a tradition. Nobody thought it was weird anymore. And he did it. And then God blessed us even more. And we moved to this really big house. And everybody wanted to come to our house. And there were people over here watching football. People over here outside playing football. Come in. It's time to eat. And everybody's having a great time. And it was absolutely awesome. But there were so many people. And the table was so big. And the room was so congested. Guess what we lost? We lost the prayer. But really, we lost a good tradition. And so some tradition is good. My dad probably should have, looking back at it, said, hey, everybody that's over here eating my food. swimming in my pool. Come on, somebody help me right now. Everybody come inside. I'm going to tell you, look what Jesus did. And start kind of getting preachy in the prayer about how I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this house. I'm thankful that we live in the United States of America, the greatest country in the world. I thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. God, thank you for, this isn't Turkey Day. This is Thanksgiving. And if we're not careful, and I feel so horrible. It's like, trust me, I'm tripping so many triggers right now. I'm like stepping over things I always just totally go around. And now I'm like, I'm trying to step over this. It's a bad time to put your foot down when you only got one. Come on, somebody help me. 2 Thessalonians, real quick, listen quickly. Come on, Earth City, come on, Sunset, listen. Now look at the screen. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions. Hold to what? Traditions. Not current cultures. Traditions that you were taught by us, either spoken by word or by letter, by the word of God or by letter. Colossians 2:8. The team's doing a great job putting them up for you. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition. Everybody shout that. What is that word? Human. So human tradition. So there's a godly tradition and there's, well, it's just only human. Everybody does it. That's just the way it is. No. It's the way they're wanting it to be, but we cannot succumb to human tradition or the philosophies or the elements of this world. Something should be sacred. Last one, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 2. Now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the, shout it with me, class, what?
Traditions.
Even as I've delivered them to you. Traditions. So as I wrap this up, traditions. One of our traditions as a church is on Good Friday, we go to church. They made it illegal this year. Halloween, completely legal. Easter, Good Friday, not legal. One of our traditions is we don't just go to church on Christmas. We go to church on Christmas Eve. One of our traditions is we do a Jesus offering because we saw for years, we just woke up one day and realized that our checkbook and our MasterCard and everything reflected that we bought all these gifts for everybody else. And it wasn't the kid's birthday. It wasn't grandma's. It wasn't mom's. It was Jesus' birthday. And then we realized that we need to set our tradition. And years ago we did. And we said, this is the time of the year, which is 3 weeks from now, to where we bring our Jesus offering to Jesus because Jesus is the reason for the season. And it is not just, hey, happy holidays. It is Merry Christmas because we got to keep Christ in Christmas or someday you won't even have Christmas. Say amen to that. That's a tradition. Come on, I command you to do that. It's not optional. I don't think so. You're at the wrong church. We're not taking Jesus out of this church. If we do, I quit. I'm going with Jesus. You can stay and drink too much. Do what you want to. I want to do the word of God. So there's certain traditions that we have. I remember starting the church 17 years ago. Not really knowing if I wanted to do it. I knew I kind of wanted to do it, but wasn't sure I wanted to do it because I didn't want to do it the way anybody else is doing it. And for the people who say, man, you know what? He's a rich preacher. I was rich when I started this. 34 years old, multi-millionaire. My wife made $100,000 every 30 days. And I was quite the income producer myself. We took a church that was barely paying the bills. And we poured our own money into it. I remember walking past when my dad died and I had this huge mansion of a house, gates that looked like Buckingham Palace, a barn that's as big as Sunset Hills is, full of horses and cool cars. And I was just walking around at 34 years old and I walked past this beautiful fountain going to the house and God arrested me and he said, someday you're going to regret this. You're going to regret not using your humorous ability to win people over for me. Sell everything you own. What you can't sell, give away and go to Sunset Hills, buy a house and start a church. 17 years ago, I sold everything and what I couldn't sell, some of these horses, $20,000, gave those away to people. And I moved in and we used our own money to start a church that exploded and grew from 200 to 2,000 in 2 years and then bought Earth City and then bought Sunset Hills and then bought Weld and then bought Ferguson and went to Florida. And I did it because I was committed to Christ and that's what I wanted to do. And I want to challenge you today to say, go with me because our greatest days are out ahead of us. Jesus is coming. coming. Somebody ought to help us right now. Don't get caught up in the drama of politics. You're not from here. You're from a kingdom where your Father is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lay your hand on the plow and don't look back. Let's build a church for Jesus in 21. Somebody ought to help me. 22, 23, 24, 25. Expect 5 years of grace and favor. Not watered down, not mediocrity, but revival. The power of the Holy Ghost. Tongues, interpretation of tongues. Cast out devils. Supernatural. Come on, give it up for Jesus one more time. Don't be halfway. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Everybody stand with me. Come on, Ferguson, Weldon, Sunset. Even online right now. Maybe you're at home. You're just sitting here watching. Would you believe me if I told you the Lord Jesus just spoke to me? And he told me, those of you at home, out of respect for him, he said, tell him to stand up. I don't care. I can't see you. All I know is what Jesus just told me. So if I were you, I'd stand. And I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I want to ask you a question. Before I pray a prayer with you, I want to ask you a question. This is probably the hardest sermon I ever really preached, because it wasn't a sermon. It kept confusing me. It was a daddy-daughter talk. It was a father-son talk. But I want you to raise your hand, only if this is 100% true. But today, while I was giving that talk, you thought, man, I got not condemned, but convicted on some stuff. Raise your hand right now and hold it up. I want to see it. Every campus, hold it up. Come on, get that hand up if it's true. Hold it up, Ferguson. Over in the overflow, everywhere, God sees it. That's honesty. Put it back down. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I do not want my life to be watered down. I want what you want for my life. You said, Lord, in Revelations to the seven churches, you talked to one church, the Laodicean church, and you said to them, I would you hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, you make me vomit. I don't want to be that way. I take control of my flesh. I take control of my mind. And I don't do what I want to. I do what God commands me to do. I go to church. I submit to sound doctrine. I have a spiritual father. I don't have many teachers that I call my spiritual father who wouldn't recognize me from a man on the street. I go to a house where I'm known, where I'm needed, where I'm serving, and where I'm held accountable. And for that, I'm glad that I have that option. I'm glad that I have a dad that'll roll down the window, throw the radio out, say, I don't care what you think about it. We're going to do what's right because it's right, and we're going to do it right. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, give it up for the Lord today.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If it encouraged you, share it with a friend. You never know what the people around you are going through. We're so grateful you joined us today, and we'll be back next week for more resources or to give. Please go to faithchurch.com.